Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry, evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm PJ Dorn, and this week on the show we have Madman Moto America racer Jason Madama. Pit Pass is sponsored, of course, by Moto America, the home of the AMA Superbike Championship, featuring 190-mile-an-hour superbikes, and it is the official sponsor of Pit Pass Moto. You can follow Moto America on Twitter, of course, Instagram, and Facebook. And they've got so many ways for you to watch the races, even if you can't attend, although I suggest you attend when there's a race anywhere in your neck of the woods. Get out there, go watch. But if you can't watch live at the track, you can watch on a Moto America Live Plus app all day, live streaming. It's wonderful. It's the best way to feel like you're there, even if you aren't. You can catch their action on FS2. Live Saturday and Sunday superbike races on FS2. Then in the days after the race weekend, you can get Moto America Rewind and Junior Cup class on FS2 as well. And then the Supersport class is out on MAV TV. Plus you get the backstory and technology insights on Inside Moto America, and that's on NBCSN. So there's so many ways for you to watch the action. Please get out there and check it out. I'm a huge fan. You are too. That's why you're listening. We really appreciate you checking out Moto America. Sadly, I don't have a lot of news to report. Some of the previously reported races have gone missing. Stay tuned. Go to our blog. We've got links to get you to whichever is your favorite type of racing to get the latest and greatest information about upcoming events as it becomes available. This week's Pit Pass trivia question is, what was the first production liquid-cooled motocross motorcycle? We'll be back with that answer after we talk to Jason. We're welcoming to Pit Pass today number 213, Jason Madama, Moto America Twins Cup competitor on the Syndicate Racing Apex Assassins MT07. Welcome to the show, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So this has been about the weirdest year of motorcycle racing you've probably ever had in your entire life, has it not?
It has been. It has been. It's crazy.
So you're based out of Colorado. Is that correct, Jason? I know Colorado's not been the hardest hit of states. How are things going for you?
I mean, it's not too bad. I mean, we've actually been pretty lucky. A couple of the go-kart tracks have been open, so we've been able to go ride our mini bikes. And the MRA, it's a local club here in Colorado, had their first round at Pikes Peak International Raceway. And so I think like a lot of the club guys are talking to the authorities high ups and try to make sure it's all good and we're able to run these events without any issues. And I mean, so far it's been pretty good. I mean, we're definitely way behind schedule. I mean, we should be 3 or 4 rounds deep, and same with Moto America. And this whole COVID thing is really putting a damper on all of our fun. So
yeah, it really is. What's the latest? I presume any and all involved teams in Moto America are getting official emails and notifications about upcoming events and the status of them. Has there been anything very late breaking right now as it seems the second wave is actually happening?
I mean, I haven't heard any no-go about Atlanta. As far as I'm told, everything is 100% go. So I'm still planning on heading out to, I left all my stuff out in Wisconsin, my bike and my rig, and I'm flying back on the 22nd, and I'm going to make my way down towards Atlanta you know, for round two. So as of now, I haven't heard anything, you know, bad. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. I know, you know, some of these states are starting to shut down again. And you know, it does worry me a little bit that some of these might get canceled or rescheduled. But as of now, everything's still a go. So,
well, that's good news. Yes, sadly, we are seeing it in some other series. The outdoor Lucas Oil Pro Motocross announced a couple of races and sadly has had to, you know, postpone those, is the current word that's being used. But there's a lot of uncertainty everywhere, it seems. Are you able to do your day job regardless?
Yeah. I mean, I do graphics. So I do, you know, light liveries for motorcycles and trailers and stuff like that, and a little bit of graphic design. And I just had actually the number one plate from Colorado, Ryan Burke, just dropped his R1, his new 2020 R1 off for me to wrap, you know, do some graphics and logos and stuff on it for the races this weekend. So that's what I'm working on this week. So, I mean, we have a business that we run here in Colorado. It's a consignment wedding dress off rack wedding dress store. And, you know, we're able to do appointment only clients. And, you know, obviously we're not nearly as busy as we were before all this happened.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're able to do what keeps a club racer going, make a few bucks. How serious is your club racing? Your name is, I'm formerly a Werra racer myself. So in club racing circles, you've been doing this quite a while, right? How long would you call your motorcycle racing career?
I started racing full competitive season in 2003. So it's been a bit of good chunk, 17 years. And I only took one season off in 2009. And actually, I still raced. I just wasn't racing bigger bikes. I was racing smaller mini moto bikes, kind of concentrated on that just for a season, just to take a break from the big stuff. But yeah, it's been pretty crazy, man. I mean, 2003 to current, I've pretty much done a complete season every year.
Well, and that's what club racers do. The country's full of them, and you're currently competing in the class that really seems to have been, if not tailor-made for guys like you, it really opened the door to, again, guys like you, Chris Parrish. There's some professional racers that never went all the way into the pro ranks because there just wasn't a good fit. Is that a fair statement? Do you think that really is the way it kind of has played out, this twins class?
I love the twins. I mean, you have the opportunity to build bikes. I mean, it gets a little, you know, financially troubling sometimes because there's so much that you have to do to these bikes to be competitive, but we enjoy doing that. I mean, I've been building my own motorcycle since I was a kid, you know, to race. And so it was a lot of fun for us to kind of piece together the bike. And these bikes that we race aren't really meant to be raced, you know, technically they're kind of street commuters. So, you know, having to do all this crazy stuff to them to make them competitive and fast is a lot of fun. And then there's a lot of, it just feels good to go out on a bike that you built yourself and that, you know, you spend all this time and research and development making work right. And, you know, actually being competitive with some of these other teams that maybe have more money or more backing. So it's definitely awesome. I raced a Super Stock 1016 for a couple of races, and in Moto America was my first real pro event. And, you know, after those races, I was like, I think I'm done. I was like, I got my chance to race pro and I did pretty good and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then when the 2018, when the Twins Cup showed up, I was like, oh man, I was like, this, like you said, this fits perfect. Like, it's not too fast. They're not crazy super bikes. And it's not like a junior cup bike where it's a really slow bike. So it's kind of a happy medium. And I mean, if you can see, the races are just amazing. I mean, we have epic battles and, you know, it's all really, really close. And so that makes for some good racing, man. So I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was drawn myself to twins racing when I got, I think I started racing with Werra in 09 or 10. It was just the right time. I was encountering the fastest kids that are now on superbikes. Now all of them are on superbikes, but they were in the twins and the 600. So a weekend at a race was seeing the future stars, and it's impossible not to love it. And yeah, twins are accessible for most club racers. Like, you either you're going to be good at it and competing, or you're going to find out you're not good enough and no reason to spend more money than this. I'm just not that fast. I mean, the twins class really shows it up.
Yeah, I think it's cool because they're not fast enough to where you can, you know, build these like crazy overpowered bikes. You know, everyone that's doing this competitively has, you know, pretty reasonably you know, equal motorcycles. And so, you know, like I was saying, if you look at the racing, everybody's really, really close. I mean, even the road racing world guys, you know, Rocco Landers and those guys have all the backing and, you know, support in the world. And even little
draft into the line,
can't even get away from us, man. So, I mean, it's cool. I mean, I kind of coming in this year was like, you know, shit, man, we're going to have some of these, you know, like kids like Rocco and Toby and Jackson Blackman. And, you know, they're obviously doing really well, but they're not just disappearing, you know? I mean, I, especially at a track like Road America that we've been the last couple of rounds, I mean, you figured you'd really see the development of some of these bikes like shine, but you know, even guys like me and Parrish that are privateers that build our own stuff and that have done our own shows are still right up there in the front group with the, you know, all these kids, man. So it's awesome.
Yes, it is. And it proves the point that, I mean, it was a good idea for a race class. Because in the bigger classes, realistically, you've got to have a lot of oversight or money wins. It's that simple. And what you're saying is absolutely what's borne out on the track. There isn't really a money wins equation in the twins class. There's a ceiling for how much power they're going to make, and everyone's relatively able to get to the ceiling. I don't think one horsepower matters in your class. You know, that's a draft. One horsepower doesn't win it.
I mean, last round, I blew my fast motor up in qualifying. I don't know if anybody really noticed or not, but I didn't end up running qualifying two. I just used my Q1 time and spent the qualifying two swapping an engine to my slower motor. And so I was probably down 5 or 6 horsepower compared to what I had in Q1. And, you know, for the whole beginning, the first round, you know, the first round also. And I was still able to be fast. I ran faster lap times than I did on the fast motor. I was competitive. I mean, I made a mistake in the third race that cost me a podium, but I was at least able to battle with all those kids and stay, you know. I mean, I started 9th and ended up, you know, I think I was, you know, 3rd at one point in the battle. But, you know, it just goes to show you, like, a couple horsepower isn't really going to make all that much of a difference on a bike that's only making 80 or 90 horsepower. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it makes the greatest racing. I've been watching over and over again those races on Moto America Live Plus, where they're kind enough to archive them. That it just blew me away how many lead swaps there were every lap. It's not just once and then it's over. It's every single lap you guys are swapping every corner. You know, every braking zone was a swap.
Yeah, there's no getting away in that class, man. I mean, it's a lot like the Junior Cup for adults, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's absolutely what it is.
But then we have the kids out there still. I mean, I think everybody in front of me last round was under 18 or 19 years old, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, guys like, I mean, Rocco, we look forward to talking to him. He's clearly a rising star of all things motorcycle racing in the U.S., and now he's doing multiple classes, which when I was a club racer, we were all trying to get as many races on any given day because you need more seat time. You don't get better if you're not actually racing against guys, and he's now getting 2 starts a day. It feels like he's going to accelerate his learning curve.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's got the family supporting him, and I've been racing Rocco since he was 10 years old. I mean, five or six years ago, I met him and he was just a little kid racing mini moto, and he mopped the floor with me. I mean, he literally embarrassed me on a mini bike.
Yep.
And I was pretty fast. I mean, I thought I was fast until I showed up.
I know, dude. And it's just heartbreaking, isn't it? I thought I was pretty fast on my hand-built SV. The day I met Jake Lewis, he was 14 and they had to give him a waiver to let him do the track day. And it was his first day ever on a 600, and he followed me around for about 3 laps and then dropped the hammer. I was like, well, see you never, dude. You're gone.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, some of these kids, I mean, I've been doing it a long time, and I wouldn't say I'm like, you know, I'm not like a horrible rider. I can hold my own, but man, some of these kids really, really are fast, and it's, you know, pretty humbling, especially doing it as long as I have and, you know, being as old as I am, I guess. That it's, I'm just thrilled that I'm still capable of keeping it towards the front of the pack.
That's it, dude. I mean, once there's an age where it's still fun to do it, but no way I'm going where they're going. I'm not going there, and it's still a blast. The way I looked at it when I got to line up with the Jake Lewis's, the Josh Herons, the Elena Myers of the day in any given club racing weekend, I was like, well, I've got the best seat in the house, if nothing else. Didn't have to pay admission, and I am legitimately in the middle of their pack.
Yep, I agree. It's cool, man. I definitely enjoy it. I mean, even when I raced Superstock in 16, I had a pretty good start at COTA and was up there with Cam and Heron and all those dudes that were racing 1000s back then. And I was like, I shouldn't be here, but this is a great team, man.
It is the best, man. It's so fun being around. I mean, it's why we love motorcycle racing. It's how you get into it. It is actually super fun. And when you watch somebody doing it well, it's just insanely cool. And if you're on a motorcycle on the track with them, you've got the best seat in the house. I always told my brothers who don't race and always thought it was cool. I'm like, you really get the best. It's fun to watch from the sidelines, even more fun to watch when they pass you.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's awesome.
How's your team taking this clearly tumultuous event? Or are you the team? Have you got a big enough team that this is affecting other people?
No, it's just me, man. Last 2 years, I've pretty much run my own show. I'm sure you guys follow some of the like Junior Cup stuff, but Dustin Apgar, the Gilly Man, he helps Dominic Doyle with the BartCon racing team. And he's a really good friend of mine. I've known him for years. And so he kind of helps me when it comes time to like grid up and do some of the stuff that requires help as far as like, you know, pit setup and bike builds and
driving,
swapping motors and driving. And it's all done by me. Yeah, I do it all myself. So I pretty much go alone, me and my dog. So.
Well, cheers to you for being that guy, a man in a van with a plan, which we know has been done by some famous race guys. It's being done all the time by guys like you, Jason, and just hats off to you for the dedication that you've shown to the sport, and your current results definitely suggest you still belong out there. So keep at it. I want to give you a chance before we wrap up to thank any of the people, friends, which we were just doing, sponsors that maybe have helped you along the way or got you where you're going.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah, absolutely. This year, I'm being a little bit financially backed by Apex Assassins Track Days, their Las Vegas, California-based track day association, kind of new in the game, but awesome, awesome dudes. And I had the pleasure of meeting Richard, the owner at Laguna in 18, my first year racing Twins Cup, and we hit it off. And, you know, he's invited me out to a handful of track days in Vegas and, you know, ended up just being good buddies. And so that's why I'm flying their flag this year. Scorpion Helmets, I've been working with them for 6 years and they're awesome. You know, the EXO R1, the Quattro helmet is what I'm running this year, and it's a great helmet. And Forma Boots is helping me this year, and Plus Racing Leathers is helping me, and Motor X and Vortex and Moto D, and you know, a bunch of the parts guys helping me keep my bike outfitted. And as far as that, I kind of do my own thing. So, you know, I don't have anybody driving my rig or anybody building or supplying me with motorcycles. So pretty much it's just the parts that I get and the gear that I get and, you know, the help that I get from my friends. So shout out to those dudes for sure.
Well, keep up the hard work, Jason. We really appreciate you joining us here on Pit Pass. I look forward to seeing you at a racetrack and watching you go, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on for sure.
This week's Pit Pass trivia question is, what was the first production liquid-cooled motocross, specifically motorcycle? And the answer is the inimitable 1981 Yamaha YZ125. First liquid-cooled motocross bike to hit our shores. Really cool bike. The start of the modern era, one could argue. Putting liquid cooling on motocross bikes, just they made so much more horsepower. The advantage, as any of you listeners likely know, the advantage to liquid cooling is you can make a lot more heat, and heat is horsepower. You need to make power, you're gonna make heat. Getting rid of that heat allows you to keep making it for the race, the entire distance of any given race. So that's why that was a watershed moment. Now it's virtually impossible to find a dirt bike that isn't liquid cooled. You're into some pretty small stuff if it doesn't have liquid cooling. There's a couple notable holdouts, but by and large, liquid cooling was the wave of the future and has been adopted by everyone, everywhere, for everything. We want to say thank you again to our guest, Jason, for joining us today, and we want to thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app where you'll get alerts when new episodes are uploaded. If you have a moment, please also rate and review us. We really appreciate it. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. and pitpassmoto.com, where you can check out our all-new blog. We've got some really interesting stuff on the blog. You should go check it out. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcast. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson, Chris Bishop, producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Coltnow. I'm PJ. We'll see you next week. Keep the rubber side down.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.